Good morning. Thank you for braving the ice and snow and coming out this morning. I want to say thank you to Kristen and Karen for their beautiful music. Just take a moment to give them a hug once in a while. They do a wonderful job, and they do it regularly here at Zion, but especially during Christmas, there's beautiful music to enjoy. Well, as you know, this week we've had some disruptions in our lives, correct? Yes. The snow, the ice, no school. I'd like to hear a cheer for that. No school. Yeah. So, of course, we're going to have some disruptions this morning, too. I had asked a couple of our college students to be worship leader and song leader today, and they're not home yet. So they got stuck in Washington, D.C. last night, Bethany and Brandon Chupp, and they're on their way home, but not without some complications throughout yesterday and today. So we scrambled last night to ask someone to be song leader. Harrison's going to do that today, and Matthew and I are going to share worship leading. But Bethany said she gave me permission to share some of her reflections on this theme this morning as we look at the life of Joseph. And so I want to begin with that. And I'm appreciative of her graciousness to let me use her words. Thinking about the themes of Advent this year, I can't help but draw on my experience in counseling classes these last few months for guidance and content. So here's a bit of what I've been thinking over in light of Matthew's message this morning. As we enter the holiday season, we are confronted with the emotions of Joseph, husband of Mary, earth father of Jesus. But he's not those things yet. No, he is awkward, uncomfortable, unsure. As listeners, we hear that he feels that way, we validate his emotions, and move on quickly to the part where he gets reassured, comforted by the angel in the dream, and warms right up to the idea of his betrothed carrying the child of God. But this morning, I invite us to sit in that discomfort, to refrain from moving quickly ahead. In my counseling techniques class this semester, we were assigned an experiential inquiry each week. These assignments encouraged us to notice the ways we exist in the world. We explored silence, wondered about dialogue patterns, and one week we were invited to sit with each emotion we experienced that week, rather than rushing through it to feel something else. This was difficult, especially when it was a negative emotion. It's so easy to avoid and repress the things we think we ought not to feel. This morning, I invite you to this inquiry of sitting in discomfort with Joseph. Let us not shy away from feeling unsure about this baby that is about to enter our world. A professor recently told our class that there had been a rise in the amount of clients she was seeing who just weren't excited for the holidays this year. Holiday season 2016 is carrying a lot of baggage, it seems. And maybe we're feeling that too. Maybe we're feeling a little embarrassed to invite this holy infant into our current state of things. Maybe the house is messy. Maybe we said something rude on Facebook. Maybe we just aren't feeling goodwill towards all people. Some people, sure. But maybe this year we're drawing lines about whom we're feeling positive towards. Maybe like Joseph, we're not too sure about this promised gift to the world. How can God possibly think now is the time to enter our world? Let us sit in anxiety with Joseph as we await this supposed miracle. We are nervous, concerned. This morning, maybe we stand next to Joseph and just don't feel ready. We are fearful of what this baby will require of us. The diaper changes, the feedings, the crying, the requirement to love our neighbor as ourselves. May it be uncomfortable, and may that be okay. Words from Bethany Chubb. I want to read Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 10. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts of where jackals once lay, grass and reeds will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Will you please join me for this continued call to worship? I will read leader, you will read people, and together all. In the nighttime of our longing, we want to welcome God with open arms.
Even though we yearn to see God's face, we are unsure of what God may ask of us. We forget that God humbles us through our doubts.
Come, walk in God's presence. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for watching over us this morning, bringing us to this place of worship. We're bringing our eager and anxious anticipation. We are joining Joseph in wondering what this baby will mean for our world. We are here waiting with you, God, and for you. In this holiday season of 2016, we are here. Walk with us. Amen. Let's sing together our Advent song.
If you could all take out the purple book and turn to number 3, we'll be singing Come Light of the World.
From Psalm 80, ancient Israel's expression of hope and longing for a king and that of all creation. Hear us, shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might. Come and save us. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. How long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us an object of derision to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the Son of Man, whom you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved.
If you could rise and turn to number 466, we'll sing "What's the Little Baby Sing?" That's in the red book. My bad. Play D.
Once in royal babies
If you could please turn to... Oh, shoot. All right, I'm back. I have a disagreement with the hymnal. As happens in the church, me and Brandon have a little bit different theology. So if we would please turn to number 199, the first Noel. In the blue book this time, yeah.
Thank you.
One more, if you return to number 212, O Come All Ye Faithful. Now be seated.
Would the ushers please come forward for our morning offering? Let's join together in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for the gifts that belong not to us alone, but to all our sisters and brothers, since they too are created in your image. Let their need become our need. Let their hunger become our hunger. And grant to us love and understanding so that in sharing ourselves, we discover the Christ who is born to our brothers and sisters. Amen. Thank you.
giving a light for those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on,
shine on.
Oh, beautiful star, beautiful star of Bethlehem, star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory,
glory dawn.
Oh, give us the light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on,
shine on.
Oh, beautiful star, the hope of light, guiding the pilgrim through the night, over the mountain till the break of dawn, and into the light of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on,
shine on.
Oh, beautiful star, beautiful star of Bethlehem,
star of Bethlehem,
shine upon us until the glory,
glory dawn.
Oh, give us a light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on,
shine on.
Oh, beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good and blessed, yonder in glory when the crown is won,
is won.
For Jesus is now the star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on,
shine on.
Beautiful, beautiful star of Bethlehem,
star of Bethlehem,
shine upon us until the glory,
glory
dawn. Oh, give us the light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on,
shine on.
Thank you, college boys, for being home, and boy, your men's singing. Thank you. Would you please join me for the confession and assurance? God of restoration, we yearn to walk in
your way, but often choose our own path, to turn our own pain. Save us, Lord, from the pride and foolishness, choosing our own course, that we may humbly and confidently follow your lead, through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Throughout the tumult of life, God holds you close in love. Rejoice, because God's wisdom is your guide. God's compassion is your strength. God's love is your redemption. Come, let us walk in the way of God's heart. Will the children please come forward on this side of the stage for children's story?
Closer so you can see the pictures, although we're going to put them up on the screen too, so you can see them up on the screen. So today we're going to talk about restoration. Does anybody know what it means to restore something? What do you think it might mean? What do you think it means, Gunnar? Can you fix something? Gunnar has a candy in his pocket. Gunnar, I think you could restore a relationship. If you said something unkind to somebody, you could give them that candy and make the relationship better. So sometimes when we restore something, restoring means something needs to be restored, sometimes usually after something bad happens to it. A long time ago, I found this chair, and it didn't look like this when I found it. It didn't have a seat, which made it kind of useless because you can't really sit in a chair that doesn't have a seat. But my mom and dad took it, and they restored it for me, and they made this pretty cool top on this chair for me. So they restored the chair. So sometimes it's things that need to be restored. Sometimes it's relationships. If we say something to somebody or do something that maybe isn't very kind, and then we have to go back and restore it for them. So I'm going to tell you a story. This story is called A Chair for My Mother. Do you want to sit on it, Eli?
You can sit on here. You can sit there with me. There you go. Does it work? Perfect. Fits you good. Okay, this story is called A Chair for My Mother. And you can look here or you can look up on the big screen. My mother works as a waitress in the Blue Tile Diner. After school sometimes, I go there to meet her. When her boss, Josephine, gives me a job too. I wash the salts and the peppers and I fill the ketchups. One time, I peeled all the onions for the onion soup. When I finish, Josephine says, "Good work, honey," and pays me. And every time, I put half of my money into the jar. It takes a long time to fill a jar this big. Every day when my mother comes home from work, I take down the jar. My mama empties all her change from tips out of her purse for me to count. Then we push all of the coins into the jar. Sometimes my mama is laughing when she comes home from work. Sometimes she's so tired she falls asleep while I count the money into piles. Some days she has lots of tips. Some days she only has a little. Then she looks worried. But each evening, every single shiny coin goes into the jar. We sit at the kitchen and count the tips. Usually Grandma sits with us too. While we count, she likes to hum. Often she has money in her old leather wallet for us. Whenever she gets a good bargain on tomatoes or bananas or something she buys, she puts by the savings and they go into the jar. When we can't get a single other coin into the jar, we are going to take out all the money and go and buy a chair. Yes, a chair. A wonderful, beautiful, fat, soft armchair. We will get one covered in velvet with roses all over it. We are going to get the best chair in the whole wide world. That is because our old chairs burned up. There was a big fire in our other house. All our chairs burned. So did our sofa, and so did everything else. That wasn't such a long time ago. My mother and I were coming home from buying new shoes. I had new sandals. She had new pumps. We were walking to our house from the bus. We were looking at everyone's tulips. She was saying she liked red tulips, and I was saying I liked yellow ones. Then we came to our block. Right outside our house stood two big fire engines. I could see lots of smoke. Tall orange flames came out of the roof. All the neighbors stood in a bunch across the street. Mama grabbed my hand, and we ran. My Uncle Sandy saw us and ran to us. Mama yelled, "Where's Mother?" And I yelled, "Where's my Grandma?" My Aunt Ida waved and shouted, "She's here, she's here, she's okay. Don't worry." Grandma was all right. Her cat was safe too, although it took a while to find her. But everything else in our whole house was spoiled. What was left of the house was turned to charcoal and ashes. We went to stay with my mother's sister, Aunt Ida, and Uncle Sandy. Then we were able to move into the apartment downstairs. We painted the walls yellow. The floors were all shiny, but the rooms were very empty. The first day we moved in, the neighbors brought pizza and cake and ice cream, and they brought a lot of other things too. The family across the street brought a table and three kitchen chairs. The very old man next door gave us a bed from when his children were little. My other grandpa brought us his beautiful rug. My mother's other sister, Sally, had made us red and white curtains. Mama's boss, Josephine, brought pots and pans, silverware, and dishes. My cousin brought me her own stuffed bears. Everyone clapped when my grandma made a speech. "You are all the kindest people," she said, "and we thank you very, very much. It's lucky we're young and can start over." That was last year, but we still have no sofa and no big chairs. When Mama comes home, her feet hurt. There's no good place for me to take a load off my feet, she says. When Grandma wants to sit back and hum and cut up potatoes, she has to get comfortable as she can on the hard kitchen chair. So that is how come Mama brought home the biggest jar she could find at the diner, and all the coins started to go into the jar. Now, the jar is too heavy for me to lift down. Uncle Sandy gave me a quarter. He had to boost me up so I could put it in. After supper, Grandma and I stood in front of the jar. Well, I never would have believed it, but I guess it's full, Mama said. My mama brought home little paper wrappers for the nickels and the dimes and the quarters. I counted them all out and wrapped them all up. On my mother's day off, we took all the coins to the bank. The bank exchanged them for $10 bills. Then we took the bus down to shop for our chair. We shopped through four furniture stores. We tried out big chairs and small ones, high ones and low chairs, soft chairs and harder ones. Grandma said she felt like Goldilocks and the Three Bears trying out all the chairs. Finally, we found the chair all of us were dreaming of, and the money in the jar was enough to pay for it. We called Aunt Ida and Uncle Sandy. They came right down to, in their pickup to drive the chair home for us. They knew we couldn't wait for it to be delivered. I tried out the chair in the back of the truck. Mama wouldn't let me sit there while we drove, but they let me sit in it while they carried it up to the door. We set the chair right beside the window with the red and the white curtains. Grandma and Mama and I all sat in it all at once while Aunt Ida took our picture. Now Grandma sits in it and talks with people going by in the daytime. Mama sits down and watches the news on TV when she comes home from her job. After supper, I sit with her and she can reach right up and turn out the light if I fall asleep in her lap. So they had to have their house restored too because it was all burned, and they finally were able to find a chair, the perfect chair for their house that was able to restore it for them. Let's close our eyes for a prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you that you are the master of restoration. Just be with us as we work to restore relationships with others. Amen.
Ask some of us later, some of the adults you see sitting up with the children during the children's story, just why we're starting to do that. An interesting story for later. From Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But they did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, typically in the Advent Christmas season, Mary gets a lot of press for the courage, the trust, and the submission that she showed toward God in becoming the mother of the Messiah. And she deserves it. But Mary's husband, Joseph, also deserves some attention, especially now in this time and culture when it seems like most of the models of manhood that we are getting from the media-hyped world of politics, business, and entertainment are very questionable, to say the least. Either they are brutal, power-hungry, macho, militaristic, exploitative of women, the poor and the powerless, or they're clueless, ineffective, self-absorbed, missing in action, good for a laugh, yes, but more trouble than they're worth. I mean, that's what I would think of men and guys just from watching TV or movies of late. And we have all been disappointed or hurt by either the abuse of male power and presence or its absence and neglect. Today's gospel reading that you just heard is really the longest passage in the Bible about this man, Joseph. Very little is said about him elsewhere. But with a little reflection on the text, there emerges, I think, a model for people, especially for us guys, but not only, because I strongly suspect that he was somewhat like the patient who is about to come into the clinic of Dr. Sigmund Schrenk, famous Austrian psychologist. And due to high popular demand from two of you, he will again speak in what I hope passes for an Austrian accent, but not too thick that you can't understand. So give us a moment while we get ready, please.
Welcome to my clinic.
Thank you.
Oi, 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 what a grip. What strong hands. You must be a bricklayer or perhaps a woodcutter.
Close, but no figs. I'm a carpenter.
Well, dude, thank you for taking a seat here.
You're welcome.
Your name, please?
Joseph.
We could have used you, Joseph, and I had new cases here built for my scrolls recently, but I hired someone else.
Did he do all right?
Yeah, I have no complaints.
Was he union?
Oh, of course.
Doc, we're going to get along fine. I'm union, too.
You know, sometimes I wish there was a psychologist union. But enough about myself. Joseph, what brings you here today?
Well, first, Doc, are you a religious man?
Yeah, and just why do you ask?
Well, I am too, and what I'm about to share with you might lead you to think I'm crazy if you weren't.
You are afraid that I might think you are crazy.
Right. It has to do with the dream. Do you believe in dreams, Doc?
Do I analyze dreams, do you mean?
No, I mean, do you think it's okay to take guidance from a dream? Even to believe that God has spoken to you through a dream?
Well, I'm not as good as Daniel or Joseph, your namesake, in interpreting dreams. But I do hold open the possibility that the Almighty might speak to us in dreams, if that is what you mean.
Good. That eases my mind some.
So I take it that you have had a very important dream lately?
Yes, but before I tell you about it, I must back up and fill you in on some other details.
I am listening.
First thing you've got to know is I'm engaged.
Congratulations.
Not so fast.
Oh?
She's pregnant.
I see.
But I ain't done nothing wrong.
Then forgive me, please, but I must ask this very delicate question. The father is...
Not me.
The woman to whom you are engaged is carrying another man's baby. I'm very sorry to hear it. How very painful. Perhaps the most painful kind of rejection and betrayal that a man can suffer.
It's not like that, Doc.
I'm listening. I am confused, but I am listening.
It's not another man's baby that she's carrying. She didn't betray me, honest.
But it's not your baby either. Then just whose baby is it?
It's so... Bear with me. I found out just a few days ago that Mary was pregnant. And even though we've been nothing but honorable to each other, at that time I was thinking everything you were thinking. She betrayed me, I would say to myself.
And you were feeling...
It's an ugly feeling, the worst thing I've ever felt. Like you said, betrayed, rejection, went through my mind.
Well, just how did you find out about her pregnancy?
Well, there ain't many secrets in a town like Nazareth.
Doubly painful, finding out through others.
You bet.
So, what did you plan to do about it?
Well, I was leaning towards calling the engagement off and moving away, just find work someplace else, like Damascus, Caesarea, Jerusalem. I even had family in Bethlehem. Then I'd stay away and no one would ever see my angry, shame-filled face around Nazareth again.
And you did not want her stoned to death, like the law of Moses allows?
Well, there's a little part of me that might have gone for that. But what good would it do? Just add guilt and grief to everything else I was suffering? Besides, the bigger part of me still loved her. Still does. Would that make me crazy about it?
No, not at all. A little louder, please. Yeah.
So I was going to talk with her myself, but before I had a chance to, the very same night I found out the news, I had a dream. Excuse me.
Don't worry. There's no problem with crying in my presence.
I promised myself I wouldn't come apart like this.
You know, sometimes tears mean that we are actually coming back together.
Thanks. Anyway.
Whenever you're ready, you may resume. No hurry.
Anyway, in this dream, I saw Mary, all bathed in golden light, like she was standing in front of a summer sunset. And this peaceful, friendly voice said, Joseph, son of David.
So, you are of the lineage of King David?
Yep, and so's Mary. The voice goes on to say, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because she...
That's okay.
This is tough. The voice went on to say, she has conceived what is in her by the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit? The same Spirit of God who moved the prophets?
Must be. Is the Holy Spirit mentioned much in the scrolls?
A few times, yeah.
Well, anyway, but that's not all. The voice went on to say she will give birth to a son. It even told me his name. You shall call him Jesus because he is the one who will save his people from their sins. Is that what the name Jesus means?
In Hebrew, God is Savior. You did not know this before the dream?
Well, I wasn't much to talk about in Sabbath school. I tried my best, but as you can see, I'm a working man, not a rabbi.
How very interesting.
That's all you have to say about his dream? My fiancé is about to give birth to the Messiah, and all you can say is, how interesting?
Remember when you said that part of you felt one way, and then another part of you felt another way?
Does that mean I'm crazy?
If so, they must lock us both up. To be honest, I'm feeling divided too. Part of me is fluttering up and down like a butterfly, thinking that all our prayers and all our hopes for the coming of the Messiah are just about to be answered. The other part of me says, hold on, be careful. Analyze the situation. Proceed with caution.
You think I'm crazy, don't you?
I did not say that. I said, proceed with caution. Besides, it funny does not matter what I think. What matters is you and how you proceed with this situation. And what about your fiancée, Mary?
I was coming to that. I talked with her the very next day, and you'll never guess what.
What? She had a dream too, perhaps?
Even better. She saw an angel before she became pregnant, telling her it would be a miracle of the Holy Spirit, being pregnant, that is. And what's more, this angel told her to give the baby the very same name, Jesus. How's that grab?
Grab is not the word.
You don't believe me, do you?
I was about to say shake, or seize, or strike like lightning.
That's what it's done to me. So you're convinced. You are. You've got to be, because I can't tell anyone about this. But I've got to tell someone.
What is more important is how you handle all this. You are convinced that this dream and this message to Mary are from God, yeah?
I am, but I was hoping you would convince me some more. How can one tell 100% for sure that something is from God?
That I don't know. Just how did you feel during the dream?
Well, all sweet and peaceful-like, and that's what's so amazing. I wasn't even sure that night I would be able to sleep. I was so worked up about Mary, I'm surprised I even dozed off. Then I woke up with that strange kind of peace. I still feel it. I've kind of felt it before, like when Papa would say the Passover prayers, or when the rabbi reads the 23rd Psalm. Do you know the feeling, Doc?
Yeah, I feel it even now, just when you mentioned that Psalm. What's even more interesting is that when people are delusional about God, when they think wrongly that God has called them to some special mission, they don't usually feel this peace you talk about. Usually they are agitated and reactive. I had a patient here once who thought he was the Messiah, and I was afraid for my life around him. But I don't feel that around you.
So you think my dream is really from God?
I think I need a counselor now. If I say yes, I'm saying, yeah, the Messiah is now coming, and you will be his father. If I say no, I'm saying you are delusional. When you show none of the classic symptoms, what can I say except that I, like the rest of Israel, must watch and wait. We have been misled before.
So you can't help me, Doc.
Help you to do what?
Help me to know what to do.
Long term or short term? For the moment, short term, perhaps we can help you with your immediate challenges. You are soon to marry a pregnant woman and raise a boy who is not your own son in a town where there are no secrets. Just how does that strike you?
Like getting hit between the eyes with a 2x4.
And you have every indication that this boy is to be the long-awaited Messiah.
I should be thrilled.
But you're not?
Well, part of me is, and part of me is scared. Does that make me crazy?
Another sign, actually, that you are probably not delusional. If you did not have any mixed feelings, I might think then that you are crazy. Tell me about what scares you the most.
Deep down, I really do want a son. I want daughters too. But, and God may strike me dead for this, I really wanted a son to be mine and all mine. Who ever heard of a man sharing a son with another father, even if that father is God?
Sounds like adoption.
I never thought of that. My cousin adopted a boy, raised him like his own. Close as two peas in a pod, they are.
Beautiful. And just what does that teach you?
Well, I always wondered where he found the love to raise that boy.
Such love you don't have to search for. It is always looking for us, my friend. We only need to stop running and to let that love embrace us. And you have already felt this love in a dream.
I never thought of that. But my problem still is not if I can love a son who just happens to be the Messiah, but how? How am I supposed to love a son like that?
Good question. And am I supposed to have the answer?
It would help, Doc.
Have you ever built a scroll cabinet before, like the one in this office?
No, sir.
Well, do you think you could build one?
Absolutely, a piece of cake.
And just what makes you so certain that it would be, as you say, a piece of cake?
Well, I already know the basics of woodworking by heart. I could almost build you a table in my sleep. So once you know the basics, you can handle any new stuff that comes along.
All right. Now, when you think of fathering a little boy, and forget for the moment that he might be the Messiah.
He is.
Yeah, granted. But surely you have imagined yourself in the past, long before this dream, as a father someday, yeah?
You betcha, plenty of times.
All right. Now, when you have imagined yourself raising a little boy, just what images come to mind for you?
Oh, playing ball.
Good. What else?
Oh, playing tag, playing horsey with him on my back.
Good. Is that all?
Playing checkers.
He'll have a lot of fun. What else besides play?
Well, taking him to Sabbath school, listening to him reading the scriptures and prayers every night at his bedside. Hiding a little piece of leavened bread in the house just before Passover, then giving him a coin and a pat on the cheek when he finds it. Having him sitting next to me at the table at Passover Eve, asking me, Father, what makes this night more special than any other night? Just like I used to do when I was young. I can also picture us working together in the woodshop, me teaching him a trade. For vacations, we would go as a family to visit relatives in Capernaum and go fishing in the Sea of Galilee. Then I would be so proud and puffed up like a toad when he has his bar mitzvah. Are you okay, Doc?
Stop! Stop, please! You're bringing up all sorts of memories and feelings for me.
Well, you asked. I just answered.
Yeah, you're right. It's not your fault.
Now, you said yourself it's okay to cry.
But I'm not a patient here. Enough about me. I think I am beginning to see just why God would choose you to be the father of the Messiah. You would be a wonderful father.
Well, thanks. But I didn't mention anything out of the ordinary.
And that is precisely the point, my friend. It's not what you would do as a father so much, but how. You strike me as a very loving and attentive father.
Thanks. But is that enough when you're raising the Messiah as your own? Will he even go to Sabbath school? Have a bar mitzvah? Will he need to learn a trade?
These questions are just as hard for me as for you to answer now. But remember what you said about building my scroll cabinet?
What's that got to do with this?
Well, you said in your very own words, If you know the basics,
you can handle anything new that comes along.
Right. And as far as raising the Messiah is concerned, you already know the basics.
Like what?
You know God and God's word.
I'm no rabbi.
Oh, you don't have to be. You also know how to love a wife and your children. Those are the basics, my friend. Everything else will be just details.
That sure is comforting, Doc. I hope you're right.
And tell me about how you plan to handle all the stares and questions and innuendos that come with having a pregnant fiance in a town that has no secrets.
Well, Mary's going down to Judea to spend time with relations, a lot of time.
Good idea. And how about you?
Well, if anybody says anything to get my goat, I'll just hammer them nails in harder. It helps work out the frustrations.
I should take up carpentry.
Anything else we should do?
Keep paying attention to your dreams. We have already seen that God speaks and you can listen. Why should that change? But tell me, do you have to stay and raise the boy in Nazareth? Is there anywhere else you could go to raise him? Somewhere where nobody would call him and excuse the terrible term illegitimate? There are no illegitimate people.
Believe me, all I need to go settle somewhere else is the barest excuse.
Well, I've heard that they're looking for carpenters in Bethlehem. I've also heard that they're hiring carpenters in Egypt.
Are they union?
Ian.
Please turn to number 211, Lohauer Rose.
We'll move into our prayer and share time. If you have prayer concerns you would like to share with us, or praises, or any responses to our worship this morning, this is your opportunity to share. You can raise your hand and I will bring you the microphone. Oh, I'm waiting for this announcement.
Well, we're very excited to welcome two new guys into our family. Seth and Eliza are doing fine. She plans to come home tomorrow. Their names are Owen, Arthur, that's after, Arthur is after her grandfather, and Wyatt, Edward, after Seth's grandfather. So anyway, so they're doing really well, and things are coming together for them, so they love to see people. They said they'd like to have guests sometimes.
They're at Meridian Park in the East Entrance Family Birthing Center. We went yesterday. I forgot how beautiful newborns are, so they were precious. I told Craig and I said, we'll stay all night and hold them for you while you guys sleep. So anyway, they're beautiful. We're excited to meet them, and congratulations. Yeah, Charlie and Cheryl. Anyone else like to share? We want to remember Floyd, who is recovering from surgery and doing well. And it's good to have our college students coming home. Some are on the way, but Jason and Trevor, appreciate your music this morning. Good to have you here. So it's kind of a homecoming for a lot of us this time of year, too. Let's go to prayer. Lord, we just think of those in our congregation that we care about, who are struggling with health issues, are recovering from surgery, asking that your presence would be close to them today. We ask for your comfort and peace, especially this time of year when families gather and we hear the words of good cheer and goodwill, and yet there's loneliness all around us. May your spirit bring light and joy. Thank you that the work you have begun in this world is not yet finished, that the good news long ago, yes, it came in human form, but it came as your Son and our Savior. We ask that that good work could be in our lives, showing us how to live in love and grace, justice and compassion. Thank you for the beauty of your creation that we have enjoyed this week, the change of seasons. Thank you for friendships that have nurtured us, loving relationships that have sustained us. We just praise you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we see that in these beautiful new babies of Seth and Eliza's. Lord, we ask for your strength with them in the days ahead. Thank you for your protection over them. Thank you that they're healthy. Thank you that Eliza is feeling stronger each day. We just ask your blessing on them as new parents, a blessing on these little boys and their continued growth. Thank you that we're here together today as we await your coming. Give us eyes and ears to see you in new ways this week. We pray in your name. Amen. I just want to make a few announcements before our final song. We were going to do Christmas caroling tonight for junior high and high school. We're going to cancel that and do it on Thursday this week so that Brandon and Bethany can be a part of that. Brandon was going to kind of be in charge. So we're going to reschedule so they can be a part of that. And also, don't forget, next Sunday is a special morning worship service. So we're having no Sunday school. that you're to come for the 10:45 service. There will be a very short video of our children and the Christmas story that we made this month, and a lot of singing. So we hope that, I know people have family plans and traditions, but it's Jesus' birthday, right? So let's get together. Yeah, thank you. Let's sing.
Please turn to stand and turn to 189, Joy to the Child Book 4. C and a G. C, yeah.
To bless a child, the hope is born. To us, the son is given. Him shall the tribes of earth obey. Him all the hosts of heaven. Him shall the tribes of earth obey. Him all the hosts of heaven. His name shall be the Prince of Peace.
Go in peace.